Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 51, and I am Libya, your host. And this week we are podcasting from the sunny city of Las Vegas.
Woo!
And I have two brand new guests.
I'm Alexandria from Las Vegas.
I'm Mindy from Las Vegas. I'm not a big TV watcher, but I'm honored to be here nonetheless.
And this is Ronnie, excited to actually have the podcast in Vegas.
Don't have to Skype in this week.
Yes.
And I'm the boy.
Maybe you should give your name.
I'm Malcolm, Libya's cousin, also from Las Vegas.
Yes. Yes. Full Las Vegas contingent minus me. So I actually don't have any news. I've been running around like crazy, so I haven't actually had a chance to research anything. So do you guys have any news?
I do, actually. I just read this morning on TVByTheNumbers.com that No Ordinary Family has been reduced from a full 22-episode run to 20 episodes.
Yay!
Okay. Oh, wait, some of us like that show.
Some of us are sad about that, because I do like that show. But it looks like that we're only going to get one season, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Because if they're cutting it now, it's not good.
All I know is I'm actually excited because that means that Michael Chiklis could go and do a better show. I really like him.
Something else? Yeah, anything else?
I really like him, and that's why I gave the show a shot.
But Julie Benz, I mean.
I like Julie Benz, too, and she can go and do something.
Girl.
She can go and do something better as well.
Yes, she can.
The problem is I never believe them as a couple. I don't buy them as being married.
Yeah, that's a little weird. I mean, I don't know. But I like the whole family unit thing, and they're all superheroes, and it's
in
cool.
Concept, I agree.
Yeah, the
in
concept
actual,
is good.
In actual watching of the episodes, I disagree.
And they have sidekicks, and that's really cool.
Yes, and the lair.
Yeah, and the lair. Yeah.
All right, next piece of news, anybody?
Yes, I have something, a good show. Firefly is coming back to TV. It
Woo-hoo!
Will be coming on the Science Channel.
Let's be clear. These are repeats
yes.
of Firefly.
Let's not give everybody
you look at it
heart
your way, I look at it my way.
let's not give people like, oh my god, Firefly's going to be back. No, they're playing repeats of Firefly on the Science Channel.
Yeah, and they're also going to be going into the science of the show. Mindy was talking about that earlier.
Yeah. There's going to be some sort of recap at the end of the show or something like that where they talk about the science of Firefly. So.
Cool. No, I don't. I was like, I'm not clear that Firefly had that much science involved.
Well, I agree,
the drive
but they had
technology for the Firefly ship. and
terraforming.
You know, yeah, terraforming.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay, all right.
And don't forget, if Nathan Fillion gets $300 million, then it will come as a web series.
Yes, let's
support
his
the
coffers.
Man.
Yeah, join the campaign to help Nathan buy Firefly's rights.
Yes.
Okay. Let's move on to the shows, and this week we are going to talk about Chuck. We haven't talked about Chuck in a couple weeks, mainly because I personally was aggravated by the show.
You got it, yep.
But this week was not as bad. Anyone? Comments? Thoughts?
The wings were priceless.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What was great was the delay. Like, she opens up her costume, and you see her costume, and then they just go, poof.
Yeah.
Surprise.
And I loved when they were doing, what are that, tantric, whatever the heck that was.
Oh.
They were doing,
hum.
And Sarah looks at Chuck, and she goes, what's happening? He's like, I don't know. It's so great.
They should get their own show. I'd watch it, Tantric Sex with Alex and Morgan.
That was all good. I'm worried about Adam Baldwin.
Who oh, yeah. Yeah.
Casey.
Yeah. I'm not sure what's going on with the whole recruiting him to another team. I suspect she's evil because I always suspect other
Robin
people
Givens
are evil.
It's Robin
evil
Givens. She's got to be evil.
Exactly. So I'm like, oh, she's going to recruit him to be evil. But
did anybody else notice the symbology of all the doors? We had,
what do you
like,
mean?
Doors opening everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, at the end, it's this new pathway to going on to other things and all that.
Like, you know, Morgan's moving the on, he's growing up. He's
right,
so
right. Yeah, it felt very rappy-uppy.
Yeah.
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 I did notice that.
And what's up with the baby and Jester?
Oh!
That was so cool with the sheep.
What? The baby and... Oh, the baby
the lullaby,
singing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
The sheep.
It's going to have to be constantly serenaded by Jeffster from now on.
Which was definitely creepy.
It was creepy, but kind of funny in a way. I mean,
those
guys try so hard.
And we haven't seen Jeffster for a few episodes, so it's kind of nice to have him back.
I don't need to see Jeffster for the rest of the series. I'm good.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay. That's good fun at Comic-Con, though. You have to.
I could see it at Comic-Con, that being fun, but on the show, I'm tired of it, truthfully. And last week, 30 Rock did a Jeffster-esque episode, and I was like, make it stop. I'm okay with, because we only have like what, one or two more episodes left of the show.
Yeah.
So I'm done. I could be done with Jeffster and be happy.
Yeah. Wipe my hands. Chuck's on the bubble, so we don't know if we're gonna get.
I'm hoping for falling off the bubble, actually. Because,
well, I'm hoping for that too. Don't get me wrong. I love that show. It has a lot of.
When I mean falling off the bubble, I mean falling off into cancellation.
Oh, you want it to be canceled?
Because I want it to be over. Mainly because. I used to love Chuck.
Yeah.
And now I don't.
I'm bored with it.
And I don't see them doing anything that they don't have any spark of anything new that's going to get me excited at the moment. And
although they do now have a new evil person.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. It's still not working for her.
The main problem is that they can't actually determine when it's going to end because NBC keeps buying it in little pieces.
Yeah.
So, and the writers are so generous to the fans. They keep saying, okay, we're going to give you this end. And we saw the finale. And it was awesome. It was a great finale.
Yeah.
And then they're like, hey, we got four more episodes after.
Yeah. It's kind of like what they did to Babylon 5. You know, the whole last season you could just write off, but they had to bring it back for some reason.
But anyway, let's stop. Alright, let's go on to the next show. Next thing we want to talk about is Hawaii 5-0, what I call my guilty pleasure show.
Absolutely. I just love that the banter between, you know, Dano and Steve. That bromance is the best thing on television right now.
I have to agree with you, but I don't understand what's going on with Dano's character, Danny or whatever, in that the last couple episodes have been all about his own personal life.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
And I didn't like his brother.
Dane Cook. Yeah, he's
Oh, was that Dane Cook?
Yeah.
Oh, that would explain why I didn't like him.
Yeah,
I couldn't figure. I was like, why don't I like this guy?
You know, Dane Cook is a funny guy, okay?
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think he's funny. But he doesn't do drama so well. I mean, you know, it felt
war
stilted.
It felt like we were getting a disproportionate amount of his personal life in the last few episodes, and I was just kind of like, I want to see the team. I want to see the bromance stuff that you're talking about. I want to see the banner.
Yes.
But when he's off with his brother and his kid and all this other stuff for half the episode, you'd miss that.
Right,
so,
exactly.
And this episode was lukewarm for me.
Yeah, but Scott Conn's seething.
Yeah.
I love that aspect of him. He does.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's always like right at that edge of boiling over.
Right.
I love when he comes through like that. It's like, because I always thought I liked Alex McLaughlin better.
Mm-hmm.
But Scott Conn is taking over quickly.
Yeah, he's just a little guy, but he's so adorable. He just want to pinch his cheeks. But yeah. I love it.
I'm not sure if that's what I would do, but yes.
I wouldn't do what I was thinking.
She's keeping it clean.
Yes.
I'm sorry you gave me that opening.
I did. That was my fault.
I can't remember what the case was then.
The case, well...
That was
I don't remember
the
stuff with his brother, but
I
don't...
No, the case was... there was... These murders, sons of someone.
Oh,
murdered.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Show sounds like House.
No, it was like the sons of like important people were being blown up.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying where the what's going on in the show is more important than the actual case.
Oh, right.
Okay.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. Because the blowing up of the kids was, wasn't that interesting.
Yeah.
And the guy's motivation, I was like, I don't know if I believe that either. So that was just blah.
I have to say, I do prefer the ones where the main storyline is really the case.
That's true. I actually do because it's the team working together. They haven't done a good job of making the personal lives of the guys interesting, no matter who it is.
Right.
So I don't know what it is about the writing or the characters or what. I'd like to care about the characters outside of work, but I just don't yet.
I'd like to know more about Kono. And she's awesome. Like, she saves their butts every episode.
Yeah, just
which
put the cousins together.
Yeah.
Just have
the
cousins go to a family reunion or something. That would actually
be
interesting.
Be really cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we've written the show and corrected it. Done.
Moving on.
Moving on to Castle. This was part one of a two-parter, And wow.
Wow.
It's, I agree.
It was one of the best episodes they've done in quite a while.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I have to say that as the case was going on and everything was being very stereotypical, I was kind of like, either this is a really bad case, like the case is just boring, mm-hmm. or there's something else going on. And I'm glad that it was something else going on. I was like, thank you. Because everything was just totally by the numbers.
Yeah, but once they like opened up the storage room, and you didn't really understand. It took me a while to understand what was going on. It's like, get out! Oh my god! You know what I mean, I like just the action with it.
The only thing about as soon as they got in the storage room, I was like, why are you guys getting in the storage room? They're just gonna lock you in. And
when they found out about the radioactive.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that, okay, yes, yeah.
Not at the very end, yeah. But yeah, the radio, because like, you know, you know there's something going on, and it ties back, of course, to the opening.
Yeah.
But I didn't, like, it took me a while to figure out, well, why is she so freaked out?
The radiation. Yeah, I didn't know they carried radiation detectors.
Right.
Is that a New York thing?
It might be. It actually makes sense if you're looking for dirty bombs and stuff. But I just don't imagine cops just carrying them around everywhere. It was like a little beeper.
Yeah, right. It was.
So it was very convenient. So I like that. And I like where Castle and Beckett's relationship is going. It's nicely, smoothly. Because it was that conversation. She's like, why can't I find a guy that does such a thing? He's just like, pick me.
Yeah.
All he had, he was like, send up a flare, you know?
Tattoo it on his forehead.
I like that that's going at a decent pace. Like, he's very obvious, but for some reason she's not getting it, or she's choosing not to get it. That's probably more along the lines.
Did you guys catch the Firefly reference?
Oh, yeah, my gosh.
Serenity?
Yes.
That wasn't even subtle.
That was so awesome. I love when they do that. It's so great.
It really is.
I did like the fact that he managed to get his family out of town.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Although,
best dad ever.
Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah, that was really cool.
Oh, yeah. But he was finishing her sentence. Like, she's like, I have a... I told you couldn't go because of the physics exam, right? Yeah, that was all good.
Yeah, she looks so hurt, though, when, like, you know, when you flip her around.
But she'll understand.
She wants everything, yes.
Yeah, she doesn't quite know. She knows something is going on, but she doesn't know what.
Yeah, you could see the light go on. She's like, something's not right. Yeah, right. She knew something was going on, so that's why she didn't protest too much, I think.
Right.
Yes.
But yeah.
Because she saw the look on his face. She's like, okay. Girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I thought Castle... I can't wait for part two because...
Oh,
is our new guy evil? What is he? He's not FBI. He's Homeland Security.
Yes.
So is he evil?
I don't know.
Ooh.
It's hard to say.
It really is.
If not evil, annoying as hell.
Yeah, he's...
I like the whole fake call to the governor.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's like, call the governor. He's never heard of you. That sucks. Yeah. So I was like, because when he was doing it, I was like, isn't he a friend of the mayor? Like, I was thinking that. I was like, he knows the governor too? It's like, no, he doesn't. Oh my God. So I can't wait for part two. Yeah, like, they left it in a really good place. And I'm super excited for part two. And, by the way, Castle has a cover of TV Guide this week.
Oh,
it's a nice picture of the two of them together.
Okay.
Thumbs up.
Very good.
All right. Next show we want to talk about is White Collar.
Yeah. That was an amazing episode.
I'm trying to remember what happened.
It was the first time that Peter and his wife have ever argued that I've seen.
Oh, by the way, that argument was the falsest argument I've ever seen in my life.
I know, but you know, I kind of felt like the dog felt. I felt like I was watching my parents argue, and I was like, please stop arguing.
And the dog was whimpering.
Yeah, the dog was like, I feel you, Satchmo, I feel you, you know? Yeah, I was like, it was so sad. And
they were arguing about the dry cleaning. Seriously? Yeah, Come on.
Well, you know, he was whining. Well, he's got whiny
white collars.
Come on. Yeah, I know.
Oh, that was really bad.
Come on. If you let the easy ones, I gotta take it.
Yeah.
So it was that whole fight felt false and forced as I was watching it. But then I understood why they had the fight, so that they could be like, the last thing I said to him.
Exactly. She didn't say that, but yeah.
It was like, I had an argument I was like, we didn't need this. But... I did like the story about the whole Hun thing. Like, that that was kind of cool to let in on that little secret. But I like the fact that Peter's life was in the balance and Caffrey was basically the guy who had to save him. And he's like, whatever. He gave a $2.5 million ring up to save Peter. I was like, dude, that's true love.
Talk about a
bromance.
And I love that Mozzie showed up.
Yeah.
To sit with her. I thought that was so great. Yeah. I love Mozzie.
Well, because Mozzie's like, the suit, he's like, I like the fact he never calls Peter the suit. He's like, the suit's the only nice guy, only suit that I like. And, yeah. Because he's the suit versus the other suits.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'll make sure that you're informed and everything, but that's friendship. You're willing to give up $2.5 million dollars for your friend?
Yeah.
You guys are friends.
Yeah.
So that was all really good. And then he was gonna get thrown out, and he was like, where's Caffrey? He was like, oh, we kicked him. He's like, nope, I need Caffrey. He's like, I gotta break out. He's like, oh, you need to break out of a prison?
Yeah.
I got you. He's like, give me the dimensions. What's around you? And they were totally MacGyvering it. It was awesome.
Great.
That was really good. Yeah. And next week looks even better.
Oh,
actually.
It does. Yeah, because he's gonna be impersonating Peter, which I think is Neil can do anything.
Well, the thing is, Neil is going to be impersonating Peter, and Peter's going to be impersonating Neil.
Which is going to be funny.
Yes. All that, that's like comedy genius.
Yes,
right there.
You know that Peter's going to have fun with that. He's just got a great sense of humor anyway.
I love this show. You should be watching it.
It's fun.
Oh,
everybody should be watching right now.
It is a fun, fun show. All right. Next show up, we want to talk about is Glee.
The shocking, irresponsible drinking episode.
Spoken by people who, well, I say spoken by, meaning me. I was just in Vegas having a fun evening.
tell us about that.
Well, what I think is unfair is that everyone else did shots of vodka the entire night, and they were just drinking and drinking wine and wine. They started drinking at like 1 and didn't stop drinking until 4 o'clock in the morning, yet I have the hangover. I did not drink a single drop of alcohol. And I
alcohol.
I feel hungover. The universe is unfair. That's all I'm gonna say. But the Glee episode was the cautionary tale of alcohol, because apparently it makes you throw up blue in the most embarrassing moments.
A lot of hypnotic drinking? Is that what
It was basically kids mixing, because they had to steal alcohol. They basically stole stuff from the cabinet, and they just mixed it all together and made this crazy cocktail.
No.
And then they all just, it was just vomit everywhere.
Oh, you knew it was coming too. Oh,
it was just ugly.
Good setup.
And so the whole thing, and then the adults actually go out and get wasted. Ooh. They drink bottles and bottles of tequila, and they're supposed to be telling the students not to get drunk, yet they show up the next day completely wasted.
Hammered.
And drunk dialing people?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was awesome. Oh, that was the greatest.
The drunk texting?
Oh.
No, what was great is that he thought he was calling his ex-girlfriend, who is now married. He thought he was drunk dialing her and telling her about how he loved her and that he wished he could be with her and all
this
stuff.
Let's do it one more time.
Yeah, it was just awful. But he drunk dialed the wrong person. So instead of dialing the woman that he meant to dial that would have been full of embarrassment, he actually dialed his arch enemy, which was the coach Sylvester, who then played it over the PA.
Yes.
For the entire school.
Slight correction from last week.
That's very
Sue is not the coach for vocal adrenaline. She is the coach for oral intensity.
Oh, right. Whichever. It's the Glee Club naming thing. But I thought this episode was high on embarrassment for everyone. Like, everyone across the board got embarrassed. Rachel was kissing the gay guy, because they were all drunk, and he thought that kissing her was nice, until he actually kissed her sober, and he was like, no, I'm gay.
You gotta try it once, I guess, you know? Just to make sure.
And Rachel wrote a horrible,
horrible
song
about her hair scrunchie.
Her hair band.
She wrote an entire song about her hair scrunchie. That was just like
that's painful.
Watching a train wreck, yes. And I have to give her friend credit, Finn, for actually telling her, no, that song was awful.
So what song did they actually sing on the song? On the show?
They sang Kesha.
they sang Blame It On The Alcohol.
But I have to admit, I am a huge, huge Human League fan. And when they sang Don't You Want Me Baby, I was like, oh, I'm in. This episode's awesome.
Yeah, they basically sang a bunch of songs dealing with alcohol, and they were supposed to find a cautionary tale song about alcohol, but they were like, all the songs make alcohol sound cool, So they were like, there isn't one, but yet during the song they picked, they all started throwing up on each other, and that actually was the cautionary tale that was required.
Yep. So, oh, and they actually found a country song that had drinking in it.
Imagine that! Surprise!
You and I are in like on the same wavelength today. I don't know what that's about.
But yeah, it was the Glee episode was actually halfway decent if you ignore the heavy-handedness of the message. It was pretty heavy-handed.
They were preaching a bit better.
They were preaching alcohol is fine for adults, but children should be careful and make sure you don't drive drunk.
I did like the end message. The thing that got the kids to stop drinking was, if you drink, you will do something that will totally, totally embarrass you.
Right.
Like drunk dial somebody bad or throw a blue.
Yeah. And they made it. They signed a little agreement, and they were like, he said, well, for training, none of us are going to drink, including him. The teacher was like, I'm not going to drink either. So everyone is clean slate. And they're like, what if you slip? He's like, if you slip, here's my phone number. Call me. I will come pick you up. So as long as nobody's in danger. So it was a good message. If you slip, here's my phone number. Call me. I will come pick you up. So as long as nobody's in danger. So it was a good message. It was like not assuming that kids are not going to drink.
Yep.
It was just like, look, let's try not to drink. And if we slip up, there will be no questions and I'll come pick you up or whatever. So it was very messagey. I was like, wow, too bad I'm not a teenager.
But it wasn't like the Disney kind of messaging.
No. It was more realistic.
Yeah.
It was more realistic. But, like I said, it was very much for the teenage audience. That message was not directed to... Well, it kind of was directed at adults because it was saying that we adults are setting examples for the teenagers. So if we expect the teenagers to act responsibly, we need to act responsibly too. There you go. Okay. End of message. End of discussion for the episode. moving on to V.
Wow.
That's never a good sign. What does that sigh mean?
Just remembering Tyler being the fertilization man. Tyler just makes me angry.
He was not really in this week's episode. He was only in it for like 5 seconds. He was
in the overarching what's going on.
But there are now 28 of them, so he is not necessary.
And I say better. Them.
Yeah.
And
I say throw him
on board. So far behind, I have no idea. Oh, what sure. You're
I stopped watching because it just made me angry.
The original was one of my favorite shows when I was a kid.
I have to say, though, right now, what's going on in the story is really good.
Yeah,
and
they kind of kicked it up.
Yeah,
they are doing fan service, finally, for old watchers. Like,
Diana's on the season,
really? And her name is Diana.
She should have hung in there.
Yeah.
TiVo didn't record some of the last season, and then I missed a few of this season.
That
it's like, oh,
to me
I give
too.
Up.
No, you can catch up.
Yeah, totally catch up.
But anyway... And they're bringing in Mark Singer is coming.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, they're really
a reason to catch up, right?
But no blue lasers yet.
It is still it's on the bubble, you know.
Oh, I know. Yeah, but see, I'm thoroughly still enjoying it. I'm humming really loud, la 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 la. I can't hear you.
The cancellation bear is creeping up on it, but you know.
Event will be canceled quicker.
Yeah,
I think. Oh, yes.
And it should be. I gave up on that after. I give shows 4 episodes. If you can't hook me in by 4, I'm out.
Well, we're still sticking in.
I'm still watching it, but I if it gets canceled, I don't care. We're off subject. We're talking about V.
Yeah,
okay. V's this week. Everyone apparently went to Rome. No, where did we all go?
No, Bangkok.
A bunch of terrorists got on planes and made it out of the country.
Yeah,
that's
all
I took
of them,
out of that.
And everybody ended up in China for some reason. And they had their big powwow because the whole big deal is the reason why the show is now taken off is now the fifth column is worldwide. And so she was meeting with all the heads of the different cells from all over the world and coming up with basically a mission statement for everyone. And because she wasn't their leader before, she basically had to show them that she could do stuff and she had authority and she had good plans and she actually could lead. So this episode was all about her proving her leadership. Which I think she did a very good job of. She was just like, she came out swinging.
She showed them up big time. Oh, and I have to also say, you are so wrong about Ryan.
Oh, that's true. I declared Ryan dead last week. And this week he shows up, and I was like,
Nobody.
Yeah, I know the whole thing is if it's a main character and you don't have a steaming corpse, they're not dead. And we saw him in the room, like, He was one floor above the explosion, and the entire floor got decimated. I was like, oh, he's totally dead. And because we didn't see his dead, charred body later, everybody was like,
and
he's tough.
Weeping over it, yeah. Which is also another clue.
And everybody was like, he's not dead. And I was like, yes, he is. And then he was gone this week, and I was like, all right.
They didn't go the whole episode. He wasn't even the reveal at the end. I was like, oh, hey, there he is right there.
But they're doing the super grow thing. Remember in V where they have the kid and they super grow the kid?
Yes.
They're totally doing it to Ryan's kid.
Yes.
Because Ryan's kid was a...
Ryan has a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
The hybrid.
The hybrid kid.
Okay. And there was an awful, awful scene where he sees her. It's like, oh, look at you. And she's like running to him. And she runs right by him. To Anna.
That was hard.
They did that in the original, though.
Yeah. Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Elizabeth, right?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. And it's a very big homage. And they're basically saying, right now, they grew from an infant to now she looks like she's about 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. And they said that they're going to keep growing her because they're trying to make her into a queen. So they're basically super growing her and putting the genetics of the egg queen in there. Sometimes. Whatever, man.
Basically, what you get out of that is that Anna no longer trusts her daughter.
Right.
Right.
And her daughter is the only queen right now.
Right.
So if it all comes to pass with the hybrid, they'll have a second queen. They can get rid of the daughter.
Right. I understood the point. I was talking about, I didn't understand the genetics behind putting an egg inside the girl and super growing her, and then all of a sudden she's a queen. I'm like, what?
No, wait, well, what about the other? Because before she thought of the hybrid, there was like that other egg.
They're putting the egg in the hybrid.
Oh, I thought it was merged together.
Yeah, they're merging because the whole thing is they were like, we don't have time for this egg to hatch and grow up and be a queen because that's like another like 20, 30 years.
Because the 28 males are fertile now.
They assume that she'll absorb it and then take that DNA into her DNA.
Right.
They also revealed something else, is that the way that the V's evolve is they take DNA from other species. And so that's what they need us for.
Right. Because they showed that No, not water. They showed that they had a body of a V from like 20 years ago, mm-hmm. and they compared it to a V of current day. And the current day V is way more advanced than the 20-year-old V. Mm-hmm. And they were like, using evolution, that's not possible. Right. But it's because they've been going to different planets and taking the best genes of whatever race that they find and putting it into their own. Therefore, they are genetically superior in every way.
That's an interesting concept.
Yeah, and I like it. I was like, oh, they have finally revealed the actual plan.
Yeah, that's the thing. There was like no reveal of the actual plan. I'm like, come on. We knew it was the water
thing.
They
took too long.
People for food. And I just expected it to move faster.
Yeah, they took a long time. I have a lot of friends that are former V watchers, and they all dropped out early.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was very close.
But it's gotten really good. Like, and I like what they did. I was fun. They actually have like this weird triangle romance going on.
I was going to bring that up. Yes.
And so like you have the priest.
He got defrocked, but yes.
Uh-huh.
You're putting things in my head.
So it's like you got the priest and you've got
Erica,
and they have a serious kind of romance going on, mm-hmm. except that neither one of them has acknowledged it because he was a priest, mm-hmm. until like now. So there's only been one episode where he hasn't been a priest. So that, but then you've got the
Michael Ironside.
You got your big buff Irish guy.
Oh,
who also they had this moment where they were breaking into a safe and they were looking at it. They were like laying down, looking up at the safe, and they looked over at each other and they were like this far apart. And they were just like, tension. Tension. And so now all of a sudden, and the two guys that are interested in Erica are now roommates.
Yes.
So I was like, that's going to be
okay.
Just a wee bit, you know?
It's like, that'll be interesting. Now we're on a soap.
Yeah. Right. Or my two dads.
Yeah. But I actually like it. But I'm cheering for her and the priest, though, which is weird. Right. But there you go.
Well, because the other guy, total traitor.
Yes.
Well, that's true. He's a good guy, sort of, kind of, whatever.
Well, he sold him out. Like,
yeah, he did.
But I think at the same time, what it's going to do is going to give him compassion for Ryan. Because he was in the same situation that Ryan was in. And so I think as they bring Ryan back, you know.
It's going to make him feel like, yeah, dude, I totally was in your spot.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. The next show we want to talk about is Mr. Sunshine.
Yes. You know, and I wasn't going to watch this show at first. And actually, I caught up last night, is what happened. and I was sorry that I didn't watch it right from the beginning, because I was like, this show is really good, but I'm concerned.
What's good about it?
It's funny.
It is. It's not, I don't think it's Big Bang funny or no. 30 Rock funny.
Is it Friends funny?
I was never really a huge
never watched Friends.
I mean, Matthew Perry's a funny guy. He's going to be funny no matter what.
I look at it from a West Wing connection. We've got like a couple of West Wing actors, and they're all good actors.
Allison Janney.
She is great. I really
She's
do like her. I have to say that the double date and the whole dating thing was pretty good.
Yeah, that was really funny.
That was pretty good because it was like he's got a Matthew Perry's character. He has a secretary who
is crazy.
Super crazy, and he knows, the one thing he knows about her is that she set her some guy on fire.
Nice.
And so his whole thing is
he dated that girl.
his entire mission, even though she's his secretary, is to not make her angry.
Yes.
So
yes.
He doesn't want her to know where he lives, and he doesn't want her to be mad at him. So everything that he normally, the way you talk to a secretary, he doesn't do that. He like he tiptoes around her. And he makes sure that he doesn't make her mad, right?
So he gives her the wrong phone number 3 or 4 times.
Right,
it was
sure.
Really
it was great. But what was funny is she sets him up. She's like, oh, you need to date someone. He goes, I really don't. So she tells him that he's going to meet some big
rock star. Tony Hawk.
Yeah, Tony Hawk. I was like, some rock star.
Yeah.
And so he goes to a meeting thinking that he's going to get Tony Hawk to come to his arena because the show's about, you know, big arena events.
Okay.
And he shows up at the restaurant and it's her sister. So she actually set him up on a date with her sister, and at first he's like, that's what his first reaction is, to let me get out of here. But as he talks to her for a minute, he thinks, oh, this could be interesting.
Yeah.
So he sits down, and 5 minutes later he realizes it was a colossal mistake, because everything he says that he likes, she agrees with him. He's like, he's like, I like clowns, and like he was naming random things, and she was like, oh, I totally like that,
cartoon bears.
Nice.
And he was like, really, you like exactly what I like?
Yeah.
And so then he was like, okay, this is creepy. So his result, he was like, I'm never gonna see her again. But then he finds out that the guy that the sister set on fire was her sister's boyfriend.
Oh,
no. See? See there? So he was like, oh my god. So he's trying to figure out a way to get out of this without being lit on fire.
And then he goes on the double date.
Yeah, so he goes on a double date, and it's just like, it's hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was actually a pretty good one.
Okay.
My concern is this. It's as funny as Better Off Ted.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Which they canceled.
Yeah.
And actually, Andrea Anders,
who's from Better Off Ted,
who was on Better Off Ted, is on this show. And she's funny. She has great comedic timing, too. But so I'm like, I really like this show. Oh my god, they're probably going to cancel it. But it had a really strong numbers showing. The first episode was really strong. And it's still holding its own. So I'm hoping.
Well, something's got to take the place of 2.5 Men, so maybe.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that show's crashing and burning.
And you know what? Jorge Garcia from Lost was on the first episode of Mr. Sunshine. I was really hoping he would be a series regular, but he wasn't in the last two.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, yeah.
Who?
Jorge, you know, Hurley.
Oh, yeah. I think he is going to be regular, isn't he?
He wasn't in the last two
episodes. Well, I know he wasn't, but I didn't realize it.
I hope to God. Because
he's great as
he was great.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Let's move on to the next show, which is Justified.
Oh, another absolutely awesome episode. And can I just say, Tim Allplant in a t-shirt? Hold me back.
No, he doesn't just wear a t-shirt. He wears a wife beater.
Huh? No, because no, like when he was out there, he was like just in a t-shirt, but just the way he was standing.
In just a t-shirt?
No, in jeans.
Okay.
He's just wearing a regular t-shirt.
I thought he was wearing, because he's always wearing a wife beater when he's like getting ready for bed and everything.
I thought he was going to pull the Winnie the Pooh thing.
No, but this is when he was outside, when he was at the...
Okay, let's talk about the story. How
okay.
about that?
I'm sorry.
Because I don't know what you're talking about right
distracted.
Now.
I am.
Who's shiny?
Who's shiny? There's a story?
The story this week was,
actually,
oh, that idiot. The idiot that impersonates him, which was fantastic. Like,
how hilarious was it?
This guy is the dumbest criminal on the face of the earth. He goes to a hardware store and goes, do you have any ski masks? And the guy's like, no, we're not as... We're just like, we're in the middle of the freaking... We're in Tennessee or wherever the heck they are. It's like, no, we don't have any ski masks. And he goes, do you have any, like, Halloween masks? And he's like... The guy looks at him and he's like, maybe you shouldn't prepare to rob a place. Like, it was very obvious. So the store owner was like, maybe you should maybe go on like eBay or something like that to buy your equipment to rob places. And so the guy was like, what makes you, he's like, you think I'm stupid or something? I was like, yes, I really do.
Yes.
And so, but then he actually had a semi good, it was like on the surface, it was a good idea.
Yes.
So what he does is he sees his hat, which is the hat that Raylan always wears. And so he just dressed up as Raylan, put on a hat, went to the guys that he wanted to rob, and said he's like, I'm U.S. Marshal Raylan Givens, and I'm taking your drugs. And he totally just robbed these guys of their drugs, and he got away.
Hey.
And so that part of the plan wasn't bad. Like, that was all, I was like, that wasn't a bad part of the plan. The bad part of the plan is then he went down the street and started spending the drug money and giving the drugs away to the hookers and stuff that all lived in the same town. I was like, you only went 5 miles from the guys you stole this from. And so what was great is Crowley, not dude was Crowley, Boyd.
Oh, Boyd, yes.
I like the fact that Boyd was like, because Boyd told him not to rob him. And so then Boyd saw that he robbed him, that he impersonated Raylan, and that he was just spending money like crazy. And he just basically said goodbye to him. He was like, what you did was a bad idea. You should get in your car right now. You should just leave. And the guy was like, no, you can't tell me what to do.
Uh-oh.
And he was like,
yes, I can.
No, no. He was just basically like, they're going to kill you. So he basically just said goodbye to him. And that was actually pretty good. I really liked the... Because he actually felt bad that this guy was just so dumb. That he was really going to stand there and wait for people to come and kill him.
Oh my gosh. Boyd actually does have some feelings. Yeah. We don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is how it ties back into the overall arch. Because he stole... the dumb thief. He stole the drugs... that were already being stolen.
Right.
So the drugs were like, wait, I'm not even sure if I can get this right, but some other people stole the drugs.
The main guys that we're watching this season, the main criminals, they're headed by this woman who has 3 sons, right?
Yes.
And 2 of the sons are idiots.
Mm-hmm.
And the 2 sons who are idiots rob the next neighborhood over, their drug bus. They robbed them, thinking that no one was going to figure out it was them. But then the idiot robbed from those guys.
Yes.
So nobody ended up with the... I think the police ended up with the drugs in the end.
Right.
But there were a lot of dead bodies. And then the older brother, who was a cop, was like, you know how many people I had to kill to cover for you guys today? You guys are idiots. And so it lets... And he's like, you're drawing attention to us. Because no one's supposed to know that they're actually dealing in big drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks they're dealing with just little marijuana across the table. And so everybody kind of turns a blind eye to it. But they're like, if they realize we're moving real weight, we're going to be looked at. And that's bad. And he's like, and mama's going to get you guys. So all of that was complicated and interesting. And Boyd actually, he's like on a cusp. He's trying to be not a good man, but he's trying not to be a criminal. So his first season, he was the big bad guy. This season, they gave him a chance to redeem himself. So he's got a job that he hates, but he's going to that job because he's like, I'm not going back to prison. I'm going to do what I have to do to stay on the straight and narrow, and nobody will let him. Like, everybody comes to him like, I got this idea to rob a bank. And he's like, go away. I got this idea to do whatever. And he's like, go away. And then when somebody gets robbed, the police show up. Did you rob the place? And he's like, no, I didn't rob anything. And so, and then I like those guys that were trying to get something from him. We don't even know what they want from him.
Right.
But they were like, we got this deal for you. He's like, I'm not interested. No, but really. So he's like in his car trying to
drive away from
this guy. And the guy's like, no, you need to listen to what I have to offer you. He's like, I don't want to listen. I'm trying to just go. And the guy keeps bothering him. And he just loses it. And he grabs this dude who's got his head like sticking in his, or like right next to him in the car. He reaches, grabs this dude around the neck,
and
takes off in his car.
Oh.
And he was like, you want to talk to me now? Why don't you talk to me now? And he ends up dumping the dude, like as the car is still going, he dumps the guy. And the dude falls and, like, probably breaks an arm or whatever. And he makes sure that he steps to make sure the guy's not dead.
Okay.
And then he leaves. But that kind of like, no one will let him be a regular guy. I was like, dude, you know what? Except, he needs to leave. That's what he has to do to have a fresh start, to do what he's trying to do. He needs to freaking get out of that county where everybody knows he's a criminal mastermind. And everybody wants him to be a criminal mastermind again.
That's very true, except the only person who's treating him normal is Raylan's ex-lover.
Well, that's she's trying to get Raylan jealous, though. That's her entire plot.
Right. But still, it's like, again, it just complicates the matter that much more. Right. Raylan now is going back to his ex, which actually this week, what was also funny is when Raylan boss finds out that it's Winona who he's dating. That's what I It's like, I thought it was bad when you were dating the witness.
He's like, now you're really stupid. Yeah, all that was just good. So, all right. Justified, thumbs up.
Definitely.
Next up is Big Bang.
Woohoo!
So this week was exchanging of friends and realizing that his friends actually miss Sheldon.
Yeah.
Which is weird because
that was very strange.
Yeah, because I if my friend was Sheldon, I wouldn't miss him. Well, actually, he wouldn't be my friend. But it's kind of strange that they all were like, "Oh, Sheldon's not here.
Sheldon tells the story better."
Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
And him trying to get new friends, just random guys. Well, they weren't quite random guys he picked off the street. Random. Like, we've seen them all before, but I was like, "No, they're not gonna be your friends, guy." So, no. Watching that was kind of funny because he was like, "I want to have friends where I'm the center of the group." I was like, dude, you already are the center
of
the group.
Well, he makes himself the center of the group.
Right.
Exactly. I thought that was pretty funny. I can never remember her name.
Farrah Fawcett.
And speaking of her, may I just say toothbrush?
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah, she's like, I named him Bernard or something. What is she
saying?
Gerard.
Gerard.
Like, Gerard Butler was the first thing that came to my mind when she said that. I was like, oh, no. Yeah, but that was pretty funny when she's like, your group is Leonard-centric. Deal with it. You know, I mean, it was pretty funny.
Oh, my God.
I love how she calls Penny bestie.
Oh, I know.
and then she gave her a nickname. She's like, hey, P. I was like, oh, no.
No, that's not good. Just no.
And all her pseudonyms for Priya, you know. Yeah.
Strings
of words to describe the brown skin beauty. I was like, okay. All right, we're going a little far here, but okay.
Yeah, but I think the best thing about this episode was LeVar Burton.
Was that awesome?
I scared the hell out of my cat. Because I went, oh my God, she's like, what? You know, it was pretty
cool.
And the whole, and how they tied it into his Twitter thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
He's like, I'm never following Twitter again.
Yeah.
He walks in and they're all dressed in like their underwear.
And I follow him.
It's so weird. They're doing karaoke with bath towels on.
Yeah.
He thought it was some weird, bizarre orgy or something. I don't know what he thought was going on. But he's like, yeah, no.
And I'm walking on sunshine. Seriously, that's the song he wants to sing?
Can we have Walking on Sunshine now? Can we? Okay.
All that was pretty good. I liked it.
Yes. I think the best quote was when Wolowitz, they were talking about Sheldon, how much they missed him, and Wolowitz says, yeah, that crazy bastard is looking quirky in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, that was great.
I just had to write that down.
That was a great quote.
Right. But I am happier with Big Bang Theory. For a while there, I was getting kind of bored with it.
I like it.
I think they're kind of picking it up again. They're finding a new direction.
Yeah.
They're moving it on from just being stupid, crazy physicists and trying to find a new footing for the friends.
Mm. Yeah. Chuck Lorre, unfortunately, only has one show now.
He can focus on that
yes.
one.
There you go. See? More focus. Yeah. That's a good thing. That's only a good thing.
All right. Next up, Archer.
Baby got a straight razor.
Oh, that's true. I was like, what?
I didn't remember how big.
That man, that baby, oh my God.
Yes, there is
that
no
baby was
part,
a was an alcoholic by the end of the episode.
There is no portion of that show that is appropriate for a baby to be on.
No.
Basically, they find, you know, I don't know if you watch Archer, but Archer, just, he tried to use a candy wrapper as a condom, and apparently that didn't work.
No,
neither does Saran Wrap, from what I hear.
So now he's got a baby, and then the mom decided to leave town for something, and she left the baby with him, and he's like, what am I supposed to do with one of these? You know, and so, like, he just kind of sits the baby on the counter while they're dealing with whatever's going on, and the baby ends up within the alcohol, taking drinks. Yes.
She was feeding him drinks.
Yeah, and then he's like shaving himself to get ready in the morning, and he puts the razor down, and he's like talking, and the baby reaches into the sink, has a straight razor, and it's just like the baby's just like woohoo with the straight razor, and I was just like, oh my god, this child is gonna die. And be an alcoholic, because apparently now they have to give the baby a little bit of alcohol because he's been drinking it so much that his body's gotten used to it. So they have to keep feeding it to him on a little, they've given it to him on a cloth or something, mm-hmm. just feeding it to him a little bit on the cloth.
Yes.
Because if you didn't, he would just start screaming. And I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, we found a lot of stuff out on this episode. We found out why Archer is so messed up.
And why his name is Sterling.
Sterling. Yes. He was named by Woodhouse. He was raised by Woodhouse.
That was interesting. That's actually kind of scary.
Considering how badly he treats Woodhouse.
Like, Woodhouse is like your dad, dude.
And that was up until the time he was five. I could see if it was just a baby, but like come on, you know?
Also, he was freaked out. He's like, you've seen my mom's vagina? because Woodhouse delivered him as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just when they
fought off some criminals too.
Yeah. After the baby's born, criminals come in, they shoot all the criminals. Yeah. And his big take from the entire thing was, you saw my mom's vagina. And that's all he took from the whole story. And it was just all of that. Oh, and then it's like, yes, I never let him do. It's like, oh, so the way she was treating the baby, mm-hmm. the ex-girlfriend comes in, she goes, that explains so many things.
Yeah, oh, she was really bad with that kid.
All of that is just like, it's like, because when you see the mom with the baby, you understand how she helped raise him and understand why he has so many issues.
Yeah, we got some good Woodhouse backstory first.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. He's like a wolf. Wow. Would you call that a war hero? I guess you would.
Yeah,
he killed a lot of Germans.
Right. Yeah, but he didn't really do it for his country, though.
Not boyfriend.
Yeah.
he was
the butler.
Yeah.
Yeah, the servant, even in the service.
Right. Yes. He was a servant, but the guy he was a pilot, and he was in love with him, and apparently, I think the pilot was in love with him, too, because he had a picture of the two mm-hmm. of them in his plane.
Yep.
And then the pilot gets shot down and gets killed by a sniper,
They weren't even going to go rescue him.
Yeah, because they were like, oh, he's in enemy lines, and he was like, screw that! And he goes and just, nuts.
Slaughtering.
It was awesome. It was awesome. And then when he found out that nobody was actually trying to kill him and they were all made up, and then Sterling comes running in and kicks the dude off the balcony, and they were like, he wasn't even trying to kill me, he was just standing there. It was great. He just kills the wrong guy, and Archer's like, oh, oops.
I'm just surprised if Archer killed the right guy on the episode.
You know, this is true, yes.
That was so awesome. Yes.
But it was cool to see a young Mallory, though, you know, see her with all her black hair and everything, right. Yes.
I love that show. I love the show so much. I'm actually going to start watching the show that they did before, which is actually more extreme than Archer. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Their original show is called Frisky Dingo, and if you've ever watched a piece of it, you'll see. Yeah, they've actually toned it down a lot for Archer.
That's hard to believe.
That's very hard to believe. Frisky Dingo, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next show up is a big episode of Vampire Diaries.
Huh. Boy, it's hard to kill an original.
They tried to set that dude on fire.
Oh my god.
Flamethrower on the body. Nothing.
That was a very, very good writing technique. Because you know how you're like, hey, if you show a flamethrower, you better use it before the third act.
They used it at the beginning, too. It was like they used the flamethrower because, one, it showed, because my big argument was cut off his head. I was like, you know, you need that knife.
You're
to kill...
You're not coming back from decapitation.
Right. That's and I'm like, you need that knife to kill Klaus.
Right, right.
You need the knife to kill Klaus. That, and if you can't, if you take out the knife, then Elijah comes back. So therefore, make sure he's dead permanently. I was yelling, freaking take off his head. But what was great is because they showed the flamethrower thing, you're like, oh.
He is completely indestructible. Yeah, you cannot take off his head. You cannot burn anything. Him. Dead. And he's alive. If you just pull that out, he comes right back.
Yeah. I was like, oh. All right.
But the twists and turns in this, it's just getting off the chain. It's like, holy crap. And then now the witch gets burned because he's trying to pull the knife out of him. Oh. That was so intense. No,
what was great about is they were doing the astral projection. The witch was doing the astral projection, so he's trying to move stuff. They set his astral projection on fire, and he's on fire for real. and I was like, it's like psychic sympathy pain.
he burst into flame.
It was so great because
magic has consequences.
I know, and I did not see that coming. I was like, oh man, Luke is dead.
Yeah, I actually started panicking right then because I was like, oh my god, they killed Big Daddy Warbucks' kid.
And I knew he was gonna go. He was gonna go nuts.
Oh, he went total. I mean, the bar. I mean, come on. Fire on the bar, and that was his.
It was a long carry moment.
Random taking of a beer bottle and shoving in somebody's throat because he just.
Oh, don't forget who somebody is.
Yes.
Matt was great. As Matt, they did the whole Joss Whedon thing. Where you have your couple, they make up, they had this big glee sing moment, and they're all happy, they're making out in the bathroom, bottle to the neck.
But it wasn't totally sad because the girl in the couple is a vampire, so
she brought him, she heals him, right? But then he's like, how'd you heal me? And she goes, oh, I'm a vampire. And he flips out on her!
That was awesome! Early.
First season, first couple of episodes, his sister gets killed by a vampire.
And turned.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
So, now he's a vampire. He immediately was like, you turned my sister!
He's not a vampire. She just healed him.
Well, you know, he don't know.
but he thinks that. That means that his new girlfriend killed his sister. And she's like, whoa! First of all, she wasn't a vampire then.
Right.
But he's not letting her talk long enough to explain anything. He's just flipping out right now. And I was like, oh, that's not good. So they gave us our couple. They were happy for 5 minutes on the show. Total turmoil. You got your new characters we got cool, two really cool wizards. One set on fire. The other one's going nuts. Dead.
Oh, yeah, people don't last on this show.
Man, they just kill folks.
Everybody gets killed.
My body can't. Well, it is a CW show. Supernatural is like that, too.
But it's not. Like, Supernatural has two main characters. Those characters don't die. Okay? On Vampire Diaries, at the beginning of the show, they introduce all these people. Then they start dying.
Okay.
So it's an ensemble show.
What are they down to about, like, three?
No, it's like eight.
Because they keep adding. They rotate people in. So basically, the only people that really probably are not going to die, the two brother vampires and Elena. Probably.
And Catherine.
Well, Catherine might die.
Right.
Catherine can die. You can kill Catherine because you have Elena. You know?
Because the show is so focused around that intimacy. She can't die until we find out with the doppelganger.
Well, yes. Once we find out, but then she could totally die. The thing that's great about this show is you've got your three main characters, but you have a huge ensemble where you get to know all these other people. But as you get to know them, they start to die. So I really like the dad wizard, the warlock dude. He was awesome. I was like, come on, you can make it. Like, once the son died, I was like, the son's all right. Yeah. I didn't mind the son dying, but the dad has been awesome on the show. And I was like, come on, don't die. you really have to chant and, like, try to help your people not get killed, but it didn't work.
No way.
He totally got jacked up, and I was like, no! Injustice! So the next character I'm worried about is Alaric. Gave up the ring, and I'm like, dude, that was your get out of jail free.
I'm not that worried.
I'm worried about Alaric.
Hey, now Isabel is back.
That's awesome.
So something's got to happen.
Yeah,
that's all be a Kirshner.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, Isabel is back, which is a soap opera thing to figure out whose parents are who, because you're like, she's not your mom, what, who, whatever. But Isabel is her mom, really, and Uncle John is actually her dad and not her uncle.
Yes.
And I'm a huge fan of the L word, so more Isabel, more Isabel, more Isabel.
Well, I already know that, because Isabel and Catherine are working together, but they have a deal, and... Oh, that just made me think of... Because Damon was supposed to use that knife on Elijah, but it would have killed him. And so he goes to Catherine and was like, did you know that the knife was going to kill me if I use the knife? And she was like, yeah. And she was like, Isabel said I can only save one of you. So she's like, I had to choose between you or your brother. And she's like, of course you chose Stefan. She was like,
of course.
Yeah. And then she has a freaking nerve, like 10 minutes later, to show up in his bedroom and try to seduce him. He was like, seriously?
Right to the stomach.
Man. And then she looked surprised that he turned her down.
Hey,
yeah, she was
Catherine,
like,
you know?
I thought he was going to go. I thought he was going to be weak.
No. No. He's in love with Elena now. You know that.
Well, that was apparent in the first episode.
he was in love with Catherine in the first episode.
Yes. Because Elena looked...
I know they look alike and everything, right. but he was like, you know, you could see the pull.
It was hard
to
tell if it was more he's remembering Catherine or he's actually having real feelings for actual Elena.
He actually is in love with Elena.
Actual
Elena. I think that built over time.
Yeah. At the beginning it wasn't, but now he is really in love with Elena.
And I hope they end up at the end of it. I want them together, not Stefan.
Well, the only thing is, I don't necessarily...
Stefan's too whiny.
Yeah, that's true. But my thing is I absolutely believe that Damon is in love with Elena and not Catherine. I do not believe the same with Stefan. I think Stefan still has feelings for Catherine.
Oh, yeah.
That would be so great.
And I love that about this show. Is like, you know, you've got your romances and your triangles and your quadrangles, and everybody's in love with everybody else. And you're trying to pay attention to that, yet there's just the freaking bloodbath of everybody killing everybody.
But Stefan's backstory, was that last week? Because that was awesome.
Yeah, the backstory was...
Stefan is the hugest jerk. I'm like, oh, dude.
Yeah, they showed him after he first turned, he went on a killing spree.
Yeah, he's a jerk and a half, and Damon was cool back then.
Yeah, they were flipped. So what they're like now, they were flipped back in the past.
Mm-hmm. Boy.
So it's really interesting
to
see that.
I guess I'll have to watch.
Yes, another convo.
No, I've been making a list as we've been talking.
I watched the first four episodes, and I just felt it was too Gossip Girl with vampires.
Well, you needed one more.
That's
why I tell people the first five.
Yeah, that's what the campfire is for, to bring people in.
I know. Right. Thank God for Netflix.
As I caught up the whole time.
The preview for next week looks great, but it's not next week.
Oh, that's right. We have a break.
There's a break.
Why is there a break? A lot of the shows are going to be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
what's
going
on?
Some holiday that I'm unaware of.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
Can I just say that I'm really happy we're moving into March and away from Valentine's Day?
Episodes.
I'm sorry. It's
everybody
just,
doesn't.
I hate Valentine's Day, and I'm glad we're moving on.
Yeah, I could have Valentine's Day all year myself.
Malcolm the Tenderhearted.
All right, the next episode we want to talk about is Supernatural.
Woo! Yeah, baby!
Does that mean it was good?
I am going to start off this podcast by eating a small amount of crow. Because last week I predicted this episode was going to be awful. And because it was going with the dregs of what I consider bad fan fiction... With the whole, the characters are now the real people.
Yeah,
I hate that stuff. However,
the actual story was
actually not about that at all.
No.
And so it was actually a good episode. And they killed Kripke in the street, which was awesome.
Too bad it wasn't the real Kripke. But anyway, playing Kripke.
That what was great about that was he gets out of the van and he's all like, oh, I'm totally going to take care of this whole Jensen and Jarrett issue.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, is that the extra they beat up? Which was I'm getting ahead of myself in the story, but I want to talk about this scene. And they're like, yeah, that's the extra over there that they beat the crap out of. He's like, oh, I'll take care of that real quick. And he starts walking up to him. And they're like, does that guy have a gun? And it does like a shotgun, and they're playing this like Mexican like standoff music, and it's like kind of deal, and he's like walking, and the guy just like hits him on the side with the shotgun, and goes like pow,
yeah,
slow motion, pow, and then he gets a double gauge to the chest, and he's like, rawr! And I was just like, that was hilarious.
I could not stop laughing through that whole scene. Yes.
My question: are Jizzin and Jarrett really not talking to each other? Is there something?
No, I think that's just.
Because
I was kind of going, aren't they like really good friends? I thought that was the thing. Is they really tight? Yes. So I was kind of like, why are they not talking? Because everything else was like inside jokes.
Jensen's married too. I mean, he has a wife.
Right.
And why wasn't she in it? But I mean,
the other wife was an actress.
Jen was in it because she was on the show. I mean, that made sense to me. I thought those Warhol like photos of pictures in them were hilarious they had in their house.
I know.
I was like, that's the best thing ever.
I was like, these guys are egomaniacs.
And the alpaca in the backyard.
Oh, I know. It's the greenest animal.
Dean was like, why do you have a camel in your backyard?
That's an alpaca. Yeah. It's really great.
And then when he goes for like into Jared's den, he has like the cowboy picture in the back.
He's on the computer typing in the freaking huge portrait above his head.
I was laughing so hard. I was barely even paying attention to what he was saying. I'm like, I gotta watch this again. It's just too much laughing.
It was.
I love how they can poke fun at themselves.
It was pretty good.
It's so great.
It really was.
Misha.
Oh, and Bobby.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
I was about to say Bobby Singer's like, what kind of douchebag names it's a character after? That was awesome. But yeah, Misha, what was great was when they first run into him, he's dressed as Cass, and he thinks that they're running lines for the episode.
And so he's doing Cass, but he's like doing over the top.
He was doing Cass
over the top
plus 10.
Yeah, I know. It was great.
So his voice is like extra growly. He's like,
and
yes,
like,
Dean.
You know. And he's not saving, but he's got that serious look.
Yeah. And he was just way over the top. And then they kept going, and he goes, are we off? Book? Are we off script? Like, what are you talking? He pulls out the script. He's like, "What are you guys doing?" And they're like, "What? Why are you talking different?" Because he was actually talking in his regular voice. Yeah. And so he starts taking off the thing. He's got a T-shirt on underneath. They're like, "What the heck?" It was. Oh, what was also great is when the angel comes for him and he's got the knife. He starts screaming like a little
girl. I know.
He's like, "Don't kill me! Don't kill me!"
What was the guy said? He said he was the very attractive but high-pitched screaming man or something like that.
And I was very bad because the geek that I am, I had to go look on my Twitter. And he really did. He didn't know. He posted 2 out of the 3.
Oh, did he really?
He did. Those 2 show up on his Twitter.
Because I follow him too. He's buckets of fun.
Oh, he was like, J squared really got me this week.
All right, I'm going to have to go back and watch that episode because I love the funny episodes of Supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
That one was good.
And
really
then
good.
When they were trying to act, that was
They were like, we're going to actually have to act this scene. And it was like,
Jared's face was just so bright. It was just like, I thought he was going to pee his pants. He was so scared.
He was doing this whole thing with the arms.
And then the arms.
He kept crossing his arms.
He didn't know how to stand,
you know. And his hands, and they were like, don't look in the camera. So then he's like this.
Like he's talking to God or something, you know.
Oh my goodness.
And then Dean was like, he kept trying to do the steely glare. So he's like, we're making faces for those who can't see.
It's too bad this is a video podcast. Yeah.
So all of that was really, really funny. I really thought that, I have to take back everything I said last week.
But how does this fit into the overall, is the show going down?
Well, they're giving us a little more ammunition about what's going on with the war in heaven, because the whole episode was basically like, the war's going on, either Raphael is going to get the cache of weapons, or Castiel's going to get it, and at the end, Cass gets it. Mm-hmm. So Cass gets all the weapons, which means, in theory, that he has an edge on the war. So that's why this episode actually was good, because it actually had ramifications and stuff was going on and stuff was happening, and it was actually important. Like, looking at it from the outside, just that teaser, I was like, oh, this is awful. But it actually meant something.
And the last couple of episodes, they really haven't touched on that much.
Right.
And I've been thinking, you know, what's been going on with that? We haven't seen Cass that much. You know, where's he been?
This is a really big Cass episode.
It was, thank God.
Yes. Next,
who doesn't love Misha Collins?
Oh.
Seriously.
the preview for next week, it looks like my
Ghost Spacers?
No, Mitch Pileggi is back.
Oh yeah,
and I'm very happy about that. However, if I recall correctly, Dean said, "If I ever see you again, I will kill you."
Yes.
So that should be interesting.
Very.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next show we want to talk about is Fringe, which was flashback.
Yeah.
Flashback.
But I like when they do that.
But it was. It was like it felt like Lost. I was like, it was like a weird. Like we were. It was a.
It
the
reminded
entire
me
episode
that one episode in the last season of Lost where they went back and they talked about Jacob and his brother and everything.
Yeah.
It felt
like
that.
It was like that.
Episode.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was really. It was a really good. Episode. We basically went back, what, 30 years or something?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Because all the kids, well, maybe 25.
Yeah.
I'm making them older than they are. Mm-hmm. But it was really, really good. And they had a new opening for the show, which
yeah,
was like,
good.
It was like the
they
theme was played on a
before.
MIDI. And it was great.
They did use that once before when they had a flashback episode.
It was very 80s. But we weren't as tuned in for the because the opening means which world are we in?
Oh yeah,
right. So
I'm
like,
you can always tell.
Oh,
I know, got all excited. Yeah, I was like, oh, it's a flashback. Yeah, I love that too. But I thought that was great, that moment when Peter first sees Olivia through the glass.
Yeah,
that was that moment. You know, and you're like, yeah, there's
destiny.
A connection between these two. You could see it even then.
Mm.
Yeah,
it was all it explained a lot of stuff. It explained because I was kind of like. How did he not remember that he was from another universe?
Exactly.
And it basically breaks it all down because they basically made him think that he was sick and it was in his head.
And it was funny because, like, you kept thinking, like, okay, is he really believing this or is it, like,
I think at the very end...
Is he pretending to believe it?
I think at the very end he wanted to believe it because he wanted her to be his mom.
Yeah, he did. He was mm-hmm. he was starting to get emotionally attached to her and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So that answered that question. Also answered the question is, how did Walternate realize that it was another universe?
I'll spill the beans.
Yeah, I know. And that was amazing because it took me a second to figure out what was going on because the look at his face when she gives him the book and I was like, oh God, she crossed over. Oh God, it's
great.
All her fault. You know.
What was great is when she's telling him about her dad, help me because my dad's beating me.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
looking at her like, who the heck
the
are you? And I didn't realize what that look was about.
And then it hit me and I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
I hope Olivia never finds out that really.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately it's Walter's fault, but
she totally
was, she was a catalyst. She set that into motion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, and we got more glimpses of our Walter like almost dipping all the way into the depths of evil. I kept saying, man, you need to pull back, dude. Come on.
Well, that's the thing is you also realize by them showing the Walters at this same point, you realize that our Walter is way more evil than Walternate was.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you're like, whoa.
And now you understand
and they both
why
have,
he
and
asked
both
William
have
Bell
limits.
To do what he did. Yeah.
Both of them. They
yeah.
both will only go so far.
Right.
And it's good. I mean, this is... Man, Fringe, I would never have predicted the show would be this good.
It's so awesome.
One. I would not have predicted that. But
Who told you to come back to Fringe?
Yes, Malcolm. You get some credit for that. Yes. Thank you. I appreciate you bringing me back. And I have to also say it was Peter as well before I get an angry phone call from him. So it was the two of you guys. All right. Next show I want to talk about is Spartacus, which was
woof!
By the teeth of the teeth, the nail of your teeth. How's
skin,
that?
Of your
skin of your teeth. Like, it's something that doesn't go together.
I know, they don't make no sense.
I almost didn't see this episode because Netflix... did not have it. They did not have the last episode, and I was like, what the heck? But fortunately, Malcolm had it, because he has stars, so I actually got to see it. And if you haven't seen it, skip forward on your podcast really quickly, and I'm sorry. When you do get to see it however you can, I'm not going to recommend away. But this last episode, this last episode was fantastic. It was everything I wanted it to be, everything I predicted. That I mean, because you can predict to a certain degree because it's a prequel. You're like, okay, these things have to happen in order for us to get to season one. And most of the stuff I predicted happened. Some of it didn't because I totally guessed that young blonde guy was going to be dead, but he wasn't.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I thought he was going to be dead. He was not dead. I thought that the slave that had escaped was actually going to stay escaped and we're going to see her in season two. Nope. I thought that Gannicus was going to die, and nope.
Yay!
Which means he might make it to season... He's probably going to be in season two, which will be awesome! And, like, half my predictions happened and happened, but I was totally looking forward to Asher getting crippled. I know I'm a wrong person for that, but I hate Asher so much that him getting his leg cut up and set on fire, I was like... Awesome.
What was interesting is that, I mean, he was kind of not in the wrong when he got jacked up like that, though. He was like, hey, come on, let's team up. Let's take out Gannicus. You know,
except
you.
My only thing is, if the second that Crixus would have turned his back, Asher would have done that to him.
Of course. That's Asher.
I know. That's my point. So I don't feel bad that Crixus got to him first. Except Ooh. That I felt bad for Badiatus, because Badiatus was like, why are all my people killing each other? Like, what the heck? Because he had, like, the two guys, the guy with the missing the eye tried to kill Asher, and then Crixus tries to kill Asher. He's like, what the heck is going on?
But that made the final mano-a-mano battle just all the more tense, because I really, truly did not know who was going to win.
Yeah, I thought Gannicus was dead. I really thought he was dead. And we finally, Crixus looks like the Crixus that I'm used to seeing. Thank God. I was so tired of that fake beard. Well, it wasn't fake. The beard thing and the long hair. I was tired of that. It's like, thank God somebody cut that man's hair. I can't wait till next season when he's buffed back up again, because he's so small now. It's so weird. And I have a bad feeling that now the Gannicus is free and we know Doctoria got away, and we know that Lucretia's going to be alive, so somebody might be spilling the beans about what happened between Doctoria's wife and Gannicus. That's bad. That's going to be really, really bad.
I thought it was going to happen this episode, because that point where Animaeus is like telling Gannicus, it's like, my wife loved you. And you're like, huh?
It's like a brother.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, they're going to use that again.
Yeah, that's going to be ugly. And I have to say, I'm going to miss John Hannah, because Badiatus is fantastic as a villain. It's like, my house, I'll raise my house, and I'll get exactly what we deserve. Yes, you and a pool of your own blood. That was an awesome end.
Just as long as Animaeus versus Gannicus doesn't devolve into Anakin versus Obi-Wan. We were brothers!
I seriously doubt that. But my prediction has been all along, since the moment that Gannicus slept with his wife, I was like, Gannicus will die at the hands of Animaeus. I was like, he will die at his hands. That is my prediction. I hold true to that prediction.
Yep. It can happen. I mean, because Animaeus is in history, Gannicus ain't.
I still think Animaeus is a better fighter.
Oh, definitely.
So, anyway. Overall, I'd say this prequel was a huge success. I absolutely love it. It's you guys have to watch Spartacus. It's bloody, but the politics and the maneuvering. And now we know why Badiatus and what's the dude's name are enemies. What is his friend's name? Not Tilius.
Oh,
Solonius. He didn't backstab him the way I thought he was going to backstab him. But he backstabbed him in a way that was very appropriate for Badiatus. He's like, Badiatus, you taught me this. And I was like, yes,
you
did.
And he was right. He should have backstabbed him.
Yeah, he was absolutely correct. And I actually was like, oh.
Wow.
He totally jacked his friend again. Because, yeah, that's brilliant. But he has been coveting that dude's wife, though.
He didn't act on it.
He just kept saying, if anything happens to your husband,
yeah,
don't worry about it. You can come live with me. And then he's like, oh, he's making you get a divorce? A divorce, you say? And I was like, dude, your eyes are getting big.
Don't hurt yourself now.
I know. So everybody's coveting everybody else's wife and husband or whatever. All right. Spartacus, thumbs up.
Yay.
Last thing we want to talk about is Being Human UK.
Bring out the GIMP.
The GIMP. I had a moment where I was like, what are you talking about?
Yay!
Oh, that was just the most bizarre S&M episode that I've ever seen, and I never need to see any of that again.
Ew.
It was people dressed in leather with hoods and being pets and stuff because they wanted vampires to feed off of them, and they were like
they were blood dolls.
Yeah, and they were totally like completely submissive in that. Ugh. And then they went and visited the graves of the previous blood dolls. It's like, yes, I'll be number 7. I'll be right there. I was like, seriously, dude? Like, it was just hurting my head. But anyway, the main storyline was really about this kid who...
Adam.
Who his parents figured out he was a vampire, and they let him feed off of them to keep him alive. And
for like 40 years. He's like 40
years old now, right? And so he's never had to feed off of anyone else, but because he's been feeding off of them, both of his parents are dead.
Yeah, and he's got the same problem as the kid from Near Dark, where, you know, you get turned... when you're a kid.
Adrian Pandar.
Yeah, and then so you cannot have a meaningful relationship with a person your age. I mean, you look like a teenager. All you can get with is teenagers.
Right. And so he's never had to feed himself. Because he's never had to feed himself, he really doesn't even know how to function in the world.
Nope.
And so he's pretty helpless. And they, the main being human group, the whole gang, oh my god, I'm mixing my shows.
Mitchell.
Thank you. I was like, I'm mixing up. The reason I was mixing
up. Not Aiden.
Don't say Aiden.
I had this moment where I was just like, wait, that's the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Mitchell, George, and Annie.
Yes.
Right.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. I love Mitchell and Annie's relationship.
Although she's going to drive him insane.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I love it because, I mean, he's in love with her. He just doesn't know it yet. She's figured out she's in love with him. But she doesn't know how to show them properly. So, yes, they're...
I'll go ruin your job interview for you.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
Who would that work anyway? I mean, you know, I guess he wouldn't be able to kill her. So, I mean,
that's true.
But
he can't feed on her.
No, he can't feed on her.
But that's why their relationship would work, because he can't kill her.
Stop.
So... I think that this episode... The only thing is I thought that they kind of missed the boat. I thought that Adam would have been a good addition to the house. And I thought that's where they were going. And then they didn't. So I was a little disappointed in that. Because at first I thought Adam was just a whiny kid. But he ended up being kind of interesting.
But you know he'll come back.
Hopefully he'll come
back.
I like him.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone to go stay with the Antediluvians. Oh, and if you guys know what that means, I love you.
No, I don't. That's from... White Wolf version of...
Yay!
Well, I don't know if that counts because you probably introduced me to it. But anyway, I thought that this episode was pretty good. It dealt with the relationships. It dealt with the fact that George was willing to look after this vampire because of his obligated feelings for Mitchell, even though Mitchell wouldn't carry it. So I thought that was pretty good.
And Mitchell's going to be killed by a werewolf.
Yes.
Yes.
Even the TV told him this time.
Yes. And I have a bad feeling that it's probably going to be George.
Oh, it's
going
to be Nina.
You think
it's
going to be Nina? We'll see. We'll see. I'm excited. I love this show. I cannot wait. All right. We're going to wrap up. Anybody have any final comments?
Thanks for coming to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Don't forget to gamble before you leave.
Yes,
please pay our state taxes.
That's all right. My crew that I came with, they gambled enough for me. My jaw was open watching them just throw money away.
Good enough.
Nice.
Yes. Anyway, so we paid our tithe. All right.
I was going to say, and the last thing is that, like, you were talking about having the hangover. I'm just glad that you didn't end up on a mattress on the top of the tower.
In my case.
All right. I appreciate that. You come looking for me. All right. You guys know where to go. Send feedback, tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @tvcampfire, and we're on Facebook. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.